The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Going on, people. Welcome to Throwdown, episode 114. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Every single time that pause happens, it gets a little more Shatnery. It's like, I'm Tony Polanco. Hey, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up?
And Adam Vail.
What's up, good nerd?
Yeah. So, by the way, some insider baseball. The reason for that pause is because I got to click on my name after I have it on yours. But, like, you know, I didn't get to it as fast. That's why that pause was, like, unusually late, you know?
And also, Carlos's name gets more every single time you do it. It's like Carlos Romero.
Hey, man, got to practice my, you know? You know, you can't really forget that once you learn it. White people can't do it. They're like, by the way, I'm like legit the greatest host of all time. I don't even have my show notes ready or nothing, man. But anyway, while I'm doing that, I want to wish, I hope everybody, you know, at least our American crew had a very nice 4th of July, you know, got drunk and blew shit up.
And we also hope that our Canadian friends had a good Canadian day, which is just a few days before.
Yeah, so some guy came up to me, he's like, hey, it's Canadian day too, motherfucker. I'm like, is that like a Me Too holiday too? Come on, man. It's fucking 4th of July, man. Like, America.
Are we in Canada right now?
The one thing to know is that a lot of Canadian holidays kind of correspond with a lot of American holidays.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be like their Thanksgiving is on the day of one of our holidays and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, all right. So we're missing some people tonight. Brian, you know, he had some stuff to deal with, so he can't join us. And Mr. Brett is watching Spider-Man.
Oh,
nice. So I almost went like today, but I was like, because I think it's raining. I'm like, I don't want to get wet, so I'll go tomorrow, you know.
It's raining.
Man, I'm not thrilled with any of these Spider-Man films. Like, after Tobey Maguire, I'm like, I just don't.
Well, those ones were trash anyway, all the ones after him. Actually, and Spider-Man 3 was trash too.
So, yeah.
You know?
But that's what I'm saying. It's like when they were like, oh, we're rebooting again. I'm like, by your damn self, because I just don't need to do it anymore. Yeah. I've been there, done that. You know.
But I mean, for all those Spider-Man films, like Tobey Maguire was like not the thing that carried those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that because Tobey Maguire was, he was not a good Spider-Man.
No, they were good movies.
They were good movies, yeah. But I feel like his Spider-Man, like,
he was a good Peter Parker, right? He was a good Peter Parker. He was not a good Spider-Man. What's it? And the other guy was the reverse. He was a horrible Peter Parker, and he was a good Spider-Man. What are you going to do?
Franco auditioned for Spider-Man, and he didn't get the role. Mm-hmm. Wound up getting a second runner-up, but that's the role he auditioned for. You think he would have been a better Spider-Man if he got the job?
Nah.
He wouldn't work as the nerdy part of Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He would have worked as the Spider-Man in the suit.
All right, man. So without further ado, let's get into it, man. Xbox One exposed, right? Okay. I'm glad this happened because yesterday when I woke up, I'm like, fuck, Wednesday's technically the beginning of the week this week because of the holiday. There's not going to be anything to talk about on Throwdown. But luckily, this came down last night. So we have a main topic. So the benchmarks for the Xbox One X have been revealed, and we want to break it all down. So, you know, as always with the tech shit, I threw this shit to Chris and Carlos and let them disseminate the facts. All right, so what did you guys find out about this?
Well, they're still in the early phases of testing. So apparently, according to Digital Foundry, they got a live demo of the Xbox Scorpio X, whatever, in running Forza, right? So they got a live demo of them playing, but developers got benchmarks. They got actual statistics. So Digital Foundry was able, I don't know how, to get their hands on those stats. And they were anonymized based on game genre and render times on the GPU, and then how that translated to frame rates, and then what resolution and frame rate they were running at. It's three of the games were obvious. It was like one was racing, and it said in-house. That's Forza. One was a third-person adventure shooter, and that was Gears. And they seemed to perform pretty well running at their native resolutions better than Xbox. But the render, even though the render times were much better on the X than the original Xbox One, the frame rate difference running at the same resolution was not as big a gap as I thought it would be. You know, I think for Gears, it was like maybe 3 or 4 frames faster at native resolution on both.
Yeah, but I think Forza was like the best one.
Yeah, Forza had the best improvement, and you know, it ran way faster, but Gears did not. It had a good render time, but that only translated to like 3.2 frames. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I had the chart before. Destiny was on that chart?
Battlefront.
Carlos? Well, Battlefront 2, thank you. Yeah, and that had minute improvement, even though it is running at true 4K on the X Scorpio. So, you know, that tells me just what we've been saying, is that, you know, they were limited. They made a lot of enhancements with the board, what they were working with, but it's still a Jaguar at the end of the day. It still has most of the guts of what's in the Xbox One and the PlayStation right now. It's not Ryzen. It's still the old Jaguar chip, and they did what they could. They got rid of the ESRAM. They improved the memory bus speeds and you know, things like that. But at the end of the day, you can only get so much. So Anthem is going to use checkerboard rendering, so that's not native 4K. And there's no benches for that, at least not that I can tell. So that's what I got out of the reveal that Digital Foundry did. And you could go look at the video yourself. He has the snapshot of the chart showing the render times and the frame rates compared to Xbox One and then the Xbox One X.
Yeah, and they also showed like the loads on the GPU when each of them were rendering. The interesting thing is that, like, the thing that we've been like talking about, it's pretty much just shows a 4x improvement of what Xbox One was. You know, the 6 teraflops is almost 4x as much as what the Xbox One had. And we pretty much, since we're not getting that much of improvement on the CPU, we can expect at least the rendering in the graphics to be 4x as much improvement. So, you know, if we're playing in a game that's 900p, and Microsoft, I think Microsoft stated that 900 and 1080p games can run at 4K natively on the Xbox One S. But a lot of these, especially third-party games, because third-party games are not going to cater as much to the console as they're going to cater to the experience they want to develop. And so those are the studios that are going to develop games that are not going to be in 4K, native 4K, at least the AAA games. They're going to be checkerboard rendering. There's going to be dynamic resolution scaling. There's going to be a whole bunch of them. Like Anthem, I believe, is one of the games that is going to have dynamic scaling. It might have 4K native at some points in the game, but it's going to, you know, tone it down in certain parts of the game. And it might do checkerboard and so it could scale at 4K, but render at a different resolution. So it's just different things like that. That's the Xbox is going to do. And I mean, you can call us freaking like Miss Cleo and shit, because we've been saying this since the day this console was announced. And, And we've been called crazy and fanboys and ponies for just setting people's expectations to like what they were supposed to, instead of this like cloud nine skyrocketed astro freaking console that people were harking it to be. It's a good improvement. It's a nice improvement. It's a welcome improvement. It costs what it's supposed to cost. And yeah, it's pretty much what the Scorpio is going to do, or the Xbox One S. Okay, so it's still too early, man. It's gonna take maybe a couple of months, man, for me to get rid of the Scorpio and like for the name.
We should just call it the X. Yeah, just to make it easier on ourselves, you know? But yeah, that's what I, you know, I mean, again, I'm not really technical like you guys and stuff, but it seemed to me that, yeah, all the shit that we've been seeing about this console is what we've been telling you guys. Like, it's a beefy console, but at the same time, it's not the God console that all the fanboys have been saying. Man, you and I had a pretty interesting conversation. Tell them what you told me earlier.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's not going to be the savior of consoles. You know, we predicted this a long time ago, just by the technology that's out there and what is available. So we knew this was essentially going to be like, on par with the PlayStation, Pro.
Just better, a little bit better.
A little better.
But I mean,
because the CPU is not really different. You know, that's the problem with it. I didn't make this up. I got it from somebody on Twitter, but it's a good analogy, right? This is for you Dragon Ball Z guys, right? Remember when Trunks was fighting Cell and he got super fucking beefy? At that point, he was stronger than Cell, but he couldn't land a hit on him because he was too fucking slow, right? That's kind of what's happening with the Scorpio in a way. It's like it's really powerful, but with that CPU is really holding it back at the end of the day, you know? So that's why when we looked at this, I was like, guys, temper those expectations, man. You know, go ahead.
It's still impressive what they did with it. But at the same time, I can't stress this more. We've all stressed this. It's the games that make the difference. And E3 didn't. Their E3 presentation did not demonstrate the best examples of what they were offering.
Hey, we barely even found out that Lucky's Tale came out for the PC last
year. By the way, a quick shout out to the Inner Circle Network who's in the chat room, and he goes, "I don't think you guys understood what that was exactly, dude." Carlos and Chris do this shit for a living, bro. They know what the fuck they're talking about, and they've been right a lot of the times here, so you can't really be questioning these guys. Just saying, you know.
What is there to fucking question? Seriously. Yeah.
It's already just been proven. Yeah.
It's just a slightly more powerful Pro, and what we're gonna get from Microsoft those games that run in the 4K or close to 4K, and then everybody else is gonna do checkerboarding or some other bullshit, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Listen, number one, it is the fucking games. It has always been the fucking games. Go back to Xbox 360. What was about was the weaker console in that situation, and what did it have? It had all the games that you wanted to play, Gears, Halo, all the third parties, all of that shit.
Yeah, that was it. It always comes down to games.
And again, PlayStation 3 was the more powerful console. Did you see any of these developers pushing that? No fucking way they didn't. They just essentially said, "All right, it works," and put it out there because why would they spend the extra? Why are they spending the extra time optimizing a game for a console that is the second one? You want to do it to the first one because that's the one that has the most it has the higher install base.
Yeah.
And why? Why isn't the grass in Mafia? Why isn't there a grass in Mafia on the 360 version but not on the PlayStation 3 version? I don't know, because they couldn't figure this shit out and they didn't want to put the fucking time in it.
I just also remember, what was it? It was one of the Devil May Cries. It wasn't the newer one. It was the one right before that. And it was the one where you're fighting like that big flaming horse.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept doing a comparison from 360 to PS3, and that there was a frame rate issue on the PS3 version. And they were like, well, this seems to be the pattern. The stronger system just can't seem to perform properly. You know, the 360 ran great. I mean, it looked better. It just didn't have that frame rate issue.
Mm-hmm. It's partly because obviously the PlayStation 3 was harder to develop for, number one. Number two, it's like, how many PlayStation 3s were there out there compared to Xboxes, Xbox 360s?
Yeah, and just to go back with what the Inner Circle's talking about, all these tests and benchmarks were on ports. But one thing that you got to recognize is how much development time AAA teams are going to have on these new titles, you know? Like, you also have to recognize that the lowest common denominator is always going to be the Xbox One and the PS4, the Slim. So if you think that there's going to be a lot of development time and testing and QA for all these enhancements, then I don't know, man. And also one thing, like, if you want to compare, you can compare it one-to-one to a PC port. If you're going to play, for example, The Witcher 3, let's say The Witcher 3 comes out for the Xbox One X enhanced. Do you really think that game is going to get a 4K native texture pack and it's going to run at a stable frame rate? Because it doesn't on any of the 6 teraflop machines on PC, or anything close to that. So, like, that's why I always mention that you got to keep your expectations kind of low. You can't just say, yeah, like, some of them are going to have enhancements, but it's not going to run across the whole table, because not all developers are willing to put their time and money into those kind of things.
You're only going to see that type of performance from the in-house games.
Yeah, Microsoft. That's why they're pimping the shit out of Forza Motorsport 7, because that's the game that can run a 4K 60 frames per second. They're going to keep mentioning that was the first game that was mentioned at the press conference when the Xbox One X was unveiled, and there was a specific reason, because they get to say this is an Xbox One X game with enhancements for 4K textures at 60 frames per second, and that's the one of the main reasons why it was announced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You notice that Gears of War 4, that's at 4K, right? But it's not running at 60, you know, because it's not a racing game. Racing games is easy to make them run like that. There's not a lot going on, you know? It's just cars in a fucking track, you know? Gears of War, there's more shit going on.
Cars in a track and car AI. Not that much going on there.
Yeah, exactly. So you could dump a bunch of good-looking shit in there. But with a game like Gears of War, it has a bunch of stuff going on. Can't really do that in the scope of that game, too. You know, but yeah, Carlos is right. It's like you can't be expecting shit like The Witcher be running 4K 60 on the Scorpio. Here's the funny thing, though, and Microsoft is kind of I fall for this. Just this week, they laid that nonsense. Like they're like, oh yeah, you could easily compare the Scorpio to a premium PC. They said this. I'm like, no, you can't. Premium PC will kill this thing. You know, my PC isn't even premium, and it destroys the Scorpio. Get out of here. You know, I don't know what the hell these guys are talking about, man. But of course, you know, the idiot fanboys believe this stuff, and the circle keeps going. You know, shit. It's fucking dumb, man.
You know, again, I just want to see what games they have. I don't give a shit about the fucking box. Seriously. Yeah, exactly. You know what? Now it's just now all this means is just the playing field is pretty close to even now. So what you're going to be getting on the Xbox, the Xbox One X is going to be on par or even better, especially, you know, on this console, which is good. On par with the PlayStation Pro. That's fine. Who gives a shit? Now let's fucking talk about games.
Here's the problem, right? Because a lot of Xbox guys honestly believe that the reason PlayStation 4 won this generation is because of power. No, it's not. It's because of games, man. Yeah. You know, it was never about fucking power. That's ridiculous. I know there was the whole, was it resolution gate shit? But there was a bunch of nonsense. It was always about the games, man. Right now, things are a little bit shifted. Like before it was... PS4 was slightly more powerful than the Xbox One. Now it's Xbox One X is slightly more powerful than the PlayStation 4 Pro. But the difference is the games, you know?
Well, I think I disagree with you on that point.
You don't think games hurt was important?
It's important, but it wasn't the factor. First off, like, think about it like this. The Xbox One X or the Xbox One... like, remember, it had that whole launch with the Kinect and how it was going to be a console that was going to worth $100 more than the PlayStation. And not only that, but like one thing that people always underestimate is the PlayStation brand. The PlayStation brand is way bigger, like not even close how like the factor and magnitude that the PlayStation brand has over the Xbox brand, especially globally. So like, think about it like this: the Xbox 360 came out at a cheaper price with more games and better third-party like ports, and it had a huge lead over the PS3. And the PS3 overcame that huge lead and took the lead at the end.
Yeah, why did it do that? Because the games, man.
But they both had games.
Oh, man, that is true. 360 had some good games, but PlayStation had more. On the exclusive front, but you may have some with the whole PlayStation brand thing, because think about it, because I know you could actually look this up. The PlayStation 3, even though it was behind, it was still kind of outselling Xbox, even when it was really expensive. I think maybe there is something to the branding of it. You know, I think a lot of people wanted the PlayStation 3 but couldn't afford it, So that could have been a factor. But now this time, obviously, it was like, okay, it's a cheaper system. I'm going to buy that instead, right?
Right.
But but that goes back to what I was saying, though. It was not about power. You know, maybe the real thing that kept it, you know, was the price.
Yeah, I agree with that point about the power. But as far as the PS4 versus Xbox One, because I don't think it's the games, because the games at the beginning of the console life cycle, they were kind of evenly matched. I mean, I guess everyone has their preferences, but it's really this year that set both consoles apart, for me at least.
Yeah, I would argue last year did, but I see what you're saying. Those first 2 years, both of them were kind of lacking.
And PS4 was killing Microsoft on sales. So
that was because of sale. You know what? I think you may have a point there. But the point stands that it was never about power. It really wasn't. Nobody said, I'm going to buy the PS4 because it's more powerful. No one really thought that. You know,
I'm going to channel Brett because he said, I bought it for the power.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Brett said that. But, you know, Brett's always the outlier when it comes to throwdown, you know. Anyway, do we have anything else to say about these benchmarks or the Scorpio or Pride or Lucky's Tale?
No, I mean, that was not a good example of Scorpio. Like, when I was watching the conference, I'm just like, I thought that Crackdown would be it, and that didn't even look that good. I was like, besides Forza, where's the game? Where's the shooter or whatever that's supposed to show off the power of this thing? And it wasn't there. They showed Super Lucky's Tale, and they showed Crackdown, and showed a couple other things, and it was impressive. And these benchmarks, just like we said, it's basically the same architecture. It's just beefed up. They made optimizations and whatnot to make it run better, but at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. So it can only get marginal improvements, right? And those improvements are going to vary based on the requirements of the game. Like Anthem is going to require way more power than Super Lucky's Tale. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, I got to say a quick thing about Super Lucky's Tale, right? Apparently, and I didn't know this, right? So maybe I'm ignorant. The game had already been out for a year on VR, Oculus VR. That's probably why I didn't know about it. I don't pay attention to VR.
That's the thing, though. That game is not exactly the same game.
Yeah, well, they call it Super Lucky's Tale now.
it's partly the same, but the game had to be widely adjusted so that it doesn't. It's not it was an example of the first third person VR game.
Yeah,
the holy myth that
Brett's been talking about. But anyway, I just find that interesting. I'm like, oh shit, the game's already been out. You know,
a friggin' what's his face said it. Anthony was right next to us. He's like, yeah, that's a VR game. I remember that game.
Oh really, man? You know me, man. In one ear, out the other. If I'm not,
well, dude, here's the thing. You weren't interested in it, and it wasn't in. It was never shown in a format that beforehand that you were looking at.
Yes, it's just like that game Adam keeps talking about, the Battlegrounds or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know about that fucking game. Now I do, because I remember from the Xbox conference, you know?
That hurts, but interesting. Okay.
Let's move on, man. Okay, so we threw this in here for you guys, even though nobody here really cares about it, but got to do it. The Destiny open beta is going to launch in August. PlayStation.
What's Destiny?
What happened? Adam, you're probably like the guy who.
I know. Destiny. I kid. I probably will.
And so, Adam, why don't you tell us about Destiny, man? What do you think about this beta? Are you like hyped for it?
Shit, I'm more hyped for the Call of Duty beta that's coming than I am for the Destiny.
So let me just give a quick breakdown. So the Destiny 2 beta is going to start July 18th for people who pre-order it, and it's going to have. The first part of the campaign mode, you know, the first like mission, it's going to have two Crucible matches, you know, the multiplayer, and it's going to have a strike. So, you know, a good amount of stuff to do in there, you know? So it's going to start, July 18th. And I think it goes live for everybody from July 21st to 23rd. Xbox gets it July 18th, the early access. And PC gets it in August sometime. So you guys have to wait on that, you know? And obviously, pre-orders are now available for the game. You know, I'll check it out, I guess, when it goes live, just to see how the story is. But again, I don't want to fall like for the rope-a-dope like I did last time. You know, fucking Destiny. So I'll wait. You know, I'll play the beta. Obviously, I'll check it out. If the story is interesting, maybe I'll check it out and check out the whole game. But whatever. Well, what about you guys, man?
Oh, I have no interest in Destiny. Still, I don't care.
I, I was when I heard the beta was coming. Hey, I'm like, wow, this feels like a deja vu. I wonder if something changed in the Matrix. This time around, I knew what I was getting when I played the Destiny game. You know, the Destiny beta the first time around. So I'm not really willing to go down that road again. I don't really care for Destiny, to be honest. But again, there are a lot of you out there who really like that. So
yeah, that's why we threw this topic in there. If it was up to me, actually it is up to me, but you know what I'm saying? I would have just left it out complete because Destiny, who cares?
Well, that's like, how do you not talk about one of the biggest games of all time?
That's what I'm saying.
It's kind of silly.
It is stupid, you know? Yeah, just like, well, now it's going to be different with Adam here, but just like we would always bring up Call of Duty. It's like nobody on the show gave a fuck, but we're like, hey, Call of Duty, there you go.
I'm hyped. Bring it back to World War II.
No, not to derail the topic, but are you like, haven't you played enough World War II games in your life? Like, why do you
never enough? Never enough. It's just something about it. It's like, it's just like anything else. It's like, how many role-playing games can you play and collect shit and throw magic and stuff? It's just a different environment. It's a different way. It's a different presentation. This is it's World War II, but with the new graphics, with the new environments, with new physics, you know, I want to experience it, you know, and eventually they're going to hit the nail on the head and it's going to be the best version ever.
Haven't I said before, why don't they go back to World War II? Yeah,
well, Manny, now they're back. Are you happy? Yeah.
I'm happy, and I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, see.
But here's the thing. I feel like we should, you know, like especially when it comes to those sorts of Call of Duty sorts of games, like they should. Before they used to be about different wars. Why don't we do that? Like, why isn't there a Vietnam War one? Or there was a Vietnam War, but they did
Vietnam War. That was just once.
Yeah, those games don't go over well.
It's like, yeah, we don't want to play a game that we play a one that we lost. Right? Yeah.
We didn't lose. We pulled out.
Yeah, we pulled out. We didn't technically lose. Yeah, we battle we engaged in, you know. By the way, quick thing. Fall of Duty, he's asking us a question. Bro, this is not the question show, but we will answer your question on Sunday. So thank you for that. All right. Where the fuck are we? I guess we don't have anything more to say about Destiny, so we'll move on here to
Your destiny.
Our favorite analyst, Manny, you know who it is.
Oh, Pack Attack.
Mr. Pack Attack. Now, don't get me wrong.
You're very good buddy.
Yeah, Mike's a good guy, you know, but he falls into two categories when it comes to his predictions. Either he's dead wrong, or as Manny calls him, he's Captain Obvious.
Captain Obvious.
So he made one of the predictions that's in the Captain Obvious camp, right? He says PlayStation 5 will release in 2019. Jeez, who's been saying that the whole time? Maybe me, maybe Throwdown. You know, and he also said that this is the part that I really want to talk about. So, and he's kind of corroborating something like another study that came out. So he says that the PlayStation 5 will launch, you know, 2019. And at that point, 4K penetration will be 50% in America and 35% worldwide. That's actually, like I said, it gels with another study that said the exact same thing. So I could believe that because, again, it's like, why do you need one of these systems if you don't have a 4K TV? It makes no sense. You know, I have a PlayStation 4 Pro. You could have just given me a regular PlayStation. It would have been the same, you know. But yeah, so he says 2019. And again, this is my reasoning for it. 2013, you had regular PlayStation. 2016, 3 years later, you had the Pro. 2019, 3 years later, you have the fucking PS5. 6 year life cycle. I don't think we're going to see any more of these 8 year life cycles anymore. That's just too long, you know.
It all depends on the economy. The reason why there was a 10-year gap between there is because it was a huge fall in the economy. So
yeah, economy's still low now. So
times were hard. Yeah, times were hard.
It was brutal. I remember that shit.
Here's the thing. You know, that's 2 years away. I mean, the thing is, I also feel like in general we kind of haven't hit that much of a stride as of yet. Like, we're 4 years in. Three years.
Yeah, we're about to be 4 years, like at the
end. Now we're getting stuff.
Is it four? Yeah, 4 years. Yeah. You're right about that. This generation took a long time to actually get its shit together, you know, before.
And it'll probably keep getting longer, you know, when it comes to the games and how long it takes to produce these things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I just guess it's just going to be another, like, what are we going to do? Like, next generation, obviously more, you know, those games need to be at a higher resolution and all that stuff, and they're probably going to take even longer to do. So I don't know.
Man, he's like, yo, man, let's go back to 16-bit.
Yeah, well, you know, 16-bit, it wasn't that long. Development times were that long, and you can have, like, smaller teams to do these things. You know, talking about long development cycles, I'm sure we're not going to see the Death Stranding until 2019.
Yeah, right? Yeah, PlayStation, well, that was our joke, wasn't it? Like, it's a PlayStation 5 launch title.
Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. It's just going to be like, okay, we've transferred it to PlayStation 5 or something.
Yeah, and here's another... Go ahead, Ben.
I'm pretty sure Death Stranding is going to be like an E3 2025 gameplay reveal trailer.
You know. Oh, and then here's the other Captain Obvious part. He says the PlayStation 5 will be backwards compatible with PlayStation 4. Yeah, duh. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So PlayStation 4 running on no cell processor. Yeah, you know, x86 baby.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Like, do you guys think that the PS4 Pro is going to be obsolete as soon as the PS5 comes out when it comes to the new games coming?
I think the Slim will be obsolete.
The Slim is going to be obsolete.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Pro is going to become the new Slim.
Yep. Yep. We've been predicting that too. That'll be probably $200 by that point, you know? Because think about it. Why would the more powerful PS4 be obsolete, but not the weaker one? You know?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Like, I was just curious because I wonder how they're going to draw the line between generations. Like, are they just going to say, like, the latest two console iterations are the ones that are going to be the ones getting new developed games for them?
Well, I mean, the line of, demarcation is simple. Hey, PS4 Pro can't play those games. You can only play them on PS5.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you'll be able to tell the difference. Remember, the PS4 Pro is not going to be forwards compatible.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, it's like, look at this convergence, right? It's coming closer and closer to PC. Eventually, a game, a PlayStation Xbox game, if this iterative thing keeps going, it's going to have a stamp telling you what the minimum system is to play it on.
Oh, shit.
At least for the Xbox One, at least the PlayStation will have some sort of number.
Right? Yeah.
You'll be confused with Xbox. Like, which one's more powerful, the One or the X? Or is it the S?
It's Microsoft and their naming, man.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Imagine they just call the next one Xbox 10.
Oh,
now call this one Xbox 10.
Call it Xbox 2019.
Fit. Well, you know, if you think about it, they actually did call this one the Xbox 10.
Yeah, they did X. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, guys, please watch it with the Spider-Man talk in the chat. Just saying.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, Kristen, no mercy on these dudes if they spoil the movie. All right, even if they're fans of the show, we don't tolerate that here. Please, you know. All right, so yeah, there you go. You know, we'll be proven right again in 2019. All right, man. This is an interesting story that came out today, right? So apparently, Super Mario Odyssey for the Switch, it's not coming out in the system. That's a stupid thing to say. Will not have a game over screen. Chris, I'm looking at you. What is going on with that?
It's weird.
Oh, that's just the evolution of how Nintendo's catering for every audience now. Like, the games have gotten easier and easier. They have some sort of hand-holding or whatever. This is the next evolution of that. Like, now he doesn't have lives. It's just what platformers have been doing for years on other systems. Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter, all these games, you don't have lives. As soon as you die, you just reappear, you know? So Nintendo's finally gotten that trend into Mario. They're not sticking with the 100 coins gives you an extra life. I don't think you have lives in the conventional sense anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just restart wherever you fell off the board or you died.
So, in other words, they're just modernizing.
Yeah. It's not, Mario's always stuck to that old convention of, like, you have a certain amount of lives, and if you die, you have to start the level over and all that stuff. They're now getting rid of that. So they're catching up with how platforming is now with other systems.
To be fair, how platforming has been for the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
the thing about the whole situation, though, is that they got rid of the lies, but and they say you lose coins if you die.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all the 3D versions of Mario. Except you didn't have the lives. So, like, in other words, like in Mario Galaxy, if you died, you lose your you lose the coins, and you lose the life. Now they just got rid of the life part of it.
Yeah. So I guess there's not really much to say about that. It's just Mario's been modernized.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about that. For me, it's like, yeah, that's how platformers have been for the last 20 years. So, okay, they caught up. So I'm sure to someone else is going to be like, well, Mario's not challenging. And I'd counter with, it hasn't been challenging in like 25 years. So
if that's you want Super Mario World, you know? Yeah, just make Super Mario, just, was it the Mario Maker? Make your own challenge.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, make some crazy-ass board that no one can beat.
That's it.
Oh, man. All right. And the last thing here, wow, we're going through this shit fast today, aren't we? Yeah. I wonder why. All right, man. So review. This is fucking ridiculous. This happened last week. Well, we got to talk about this shit. It's so fucking funny. So there's been certain reviewers, right? Polygon, for example, saying that Crash Bandicoot, a game that came out 20 years ago, right? You know, the Insane Trilogy, is as hard as Dark Souls.
I don't think they understand how ridiculous they sound.
It's stupid.
Yeah. So what are you going to call it? The Dark Souls of platformers? You realize how old Crash Bandicoot is, right?
My thing is like, you notice that every game that's super hard is like, oh, it's the Dark Souls of blah, blah. And to me, and I took this from our buddy Tim Torres, right? He's 100% right. He goes, that every time you hear somebody say that, it lets you know that they started gaming in the 360 era. Right.
Yeah.
If you want to say hard shit, if you come up to me and you tell me, oh, this game is as hard as Battletoads, now you got my attention.
Right. Like, okay. Yeah, if you said, damn, this is like Ninja Gaiden. I mean, yeah, NES like, one, you know.
Yeah, like, okay.
or you could say, oh, it's as hard as fucking Crash Bandicoot was.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
Listen, I'm going to say this right now.
But wait a minute. But I did see some videos because I heard that. And I said, you know what? Let me YouTube this shit. Let me see. Supposedly, they changed the mechanic of the jumping that makes it like very difficult. Because remember, the way the game works is we've all played it, even you know, where it's towards you. You're running downward, and you can't really control him properly because of the way he jumps. I don't know. They're saying it's just a jumping.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm glad you bring that up, right? We're going to get to that. But first, I just want to make fun of these guys some more, right? Because here's the thing, you know, talking about Dark Souls, right? And Chris could vouch for this, right? The games are very hard, but they're fair.
Yes.
And they're actually easier than old school NES games. You know, let's just be honest. You know, if you really like pay attention, you could get through those games. You know, they're not unfair. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't like this comparison. Like, actually, there was a Mega 64 skit where they made fun of people who say that. But I mean, they started saying like, you know, Toaster Strudels is a Dark Souls of breakfast and all this shit, you know, because it's stupid, you know. Oh, you know, these games are just hard, like, but it's a platformer. It's not Dark Souls. It's not even close. There's no platforming really in Dark Souls. So how are you comparing this thing is amazing. That's like saying Monopoly is a Dark Souls of board games. It's stupid. That's a stupid comparison.
My favorite thing that they did, so somebody put together a Photoshop thing and they took Crash Bandicoot and they stuck him in Dark Souls.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of memes like that. It's hilarious, right? But the thing is, it is true, though, what Adam just said. They did change the fixes because unlike a lot of games, right, you know, they didn't just, like, you know, polish up the old game, right? They didn't have the original source code. They had to do it from scratch, right? And they used some modern physics stuff. Like, they even used something that the Unity engine has. Unity didn't exist back in the day, obviously, right? Now, for example, back in the day when Crash landed, even if he was at the edge of a platform, right, he would land on it perfectly, right? Even if his feet were sticking out, now if he lands on it like that, he's going to fall right off, you know. And there's a couple other things that they changed physics wise, but let's just say that makes the games, you know, harder, right? Just for the sake of argument, let's say it makes it harder. You know what you need to do? Put practice into it. Patience.
Get good.
Get used to it. If you're going to use that Dark Souls analogy, then get good then.
You know, the other thing is that, you know, people were complaining. I think people have bird memory again because people were complaining about how hard the Crash Bandicoot level was in the Uncharted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a pain in the ass.
And that was the original source code.
Well, was it? Because they said they lost it.
No, they put that in there.
Yeah, or maybe they recreated it too.
Maybe it's for certain games that they lost it.
Huh. Yeah, but apparently, like, what they did was they took the physics of the third Crash Bandicoot game and applied them to all the games. So, yeah, Crash Bandicoot 1 doesn't control like it does. But at the same time, you just have to adjust for those new controls, right? That's what I would figure. It's like, okay, if you know you're going to land on this platform and you're going to fall off, make sure you land a little bit before that point. You know, it's still, if you follow conventional platforming rules, every platforming game has basic rules, right? You follow those, you'll be all right, you know? And, you know, I don't get me wrong, some of those memes have been hilarious. People are just fucking dying and shit, but the Dark, I'm so sick of, this is the Dark Souls of whatever. It's so fucking
You also got to understand, now that the name of Dark Souls has kind of been established as the hard game, so you also got to think about, they might be saying that sort of thing to communicate to a lot of the younger gamers.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's, to me, it's still a stupid comparison, because like, there's plenty of hard platforming games. Go play Super Meat Boy and tell me that's not hard, you know, or N Plus, or, you know, so, and nobody was saying, oh man, this is like Dark Souls or Demon Souls or Kingsfield. Nobody made that comparison. Now that Dark Souls is popular, that is now the metric for hard, which is ridiculous because, again, this is a platformer. So compare it to a hard platforming game.
It's just a lazy way to say the game is hard without actually putting effort and explaining why the game is hard. And I don't understand what the hell is, like, all the fuss with – I'm sorry, man. Crash Bandicoot, like, why is game so hyped? This game is, like –
I don't get it.
I swear, man, people be wearing those nostalgia goggles, man, thinking this is like one of the greatest games to ever come out, man.
You know what? Let's talk about what Brett said. He said that he has a group of friends that's all they're into, nostalgia. that's the hype, right? That's what he said. So to me, those are like the guys wearing the fedoras down in Williamsburg. You know, they just think it's cool to say they like old shit because they didn't grow up playing it. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I love the 80s. When were you born? 19, the night, wrong. You know what? I get it. I don't want to hear this shit. So you're nostalgic about shit that you just weren't involved in, and that's why.
No, but Carlos is right, though. It's like, because I've seen, like, I was talking to somebody on Twitter. I forgot who he was, but he'll know who I'm talking about. He said, hey, man, how well do you think Crash Bandicoot is going to do when it releases? Do you think it's going to clear a million in a month? I'm like, listen, nobody gives a fuck about Crash Bandicoot. That's an old-ass IP. Nobody gives a fuck. I was proven wrong because I've seen nothing but Crash Bandicoot. And Carlos, here's the thing I didn't anticipate, because I never liked Crash Bandicoot. I thought those games were stupid, too. I did buy the collection because I've never played them, but I didn't grow up with Crash Bandicoot. I was a Sega Saturn guy. I was like, fuck PlayStation, fuck Crash Bandicoot, fuck all that shit. So I don't have that nostalgia, but apparently a lot of the people that, at least the people I follow, they grew up with Crash Bandicoot. So that nostalgia is hitting them hard. This is the same reason why Nintendo does so well. That nostalgia is real with these people.
Yeah.
I'm not taking away, you know, their enjoyment of the game or saying the game is shit, but that nostalgia is definitely there. And I was stunned by the reaction because I thought Crash is going to be a blip in the radar. No one was going to give a fuck. I was wrong.
The one thing I'm impressed with that game is just how nice the graphics actually look on that.
Oh, they look fucking nice.
It looks like a lot of times it looks like pre-rendered CG, like just the pop and some of the animations they use. Those guys put a really nice spit shine on that.
Yeah, now, Vicarious Visions, by the way.
Yeah, Vicarious Vision did a really nice job with it. I'm tempted to buy it just because the game looks so pretty.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the main reasons I bought it too. It looks nice, dude.
It's a really nice, colorful game, you know, all that stuff. But you know, the other thing is, I at the time of Crash Bandicoot, I never really cared for that game specifically. I kind of related a lot more to the other Sony ones. I feel the Sony character, you know, mascot-y characters that Sony had created, like Sly Cooper. It's like Sly Cooper, not even Spyro.
Spyro's another one I never played. You know,
like characters like Sly Cooper and what's the other one? Ratchet and Clank. I like those guys. I didn't care too much for Jack and Daxter either.
I was a bigger fan of Ape Escape more than freaking Crash Bandicoot, and I grew up with Crash Bandicoot.
Interesting. So I underestimated the power of Crash Bandicoot because I never cared for it, but hey, more power to them. The game seems to be doing really, really well. I am shocked, you know, but yeah, they changed the physics around, which makes the game harder, but you know what? Just get good.
Thing is, that it's not like they did it on purpose. It's like, okay, we don't have a lot of this stuff in here, so Let's just do the best.
Their hand was forced if they want. And I think that was the right main reason why it took so long. Because people were like, oh, why did they take so long? Well, that's the reason why. Because they had to start from scratch again.
Yeah, make three from scratch, you know?
Well, they weren't fully scratched. They did use the environments from the original one.
Well, they had a basis, you know? Yeah, obviously.
So, like, all the distance of all the boxes and all that other shit, that's all still there. They were saying, I think I was watching a thing, they literally were saying that they just ripped them from the original games. Or Naughty Dog had the original model data for all those games and just said, all right, we're just going to do
that. That's crazy, man. But yeah, get good, motherfuckers. By the way, this is just the journalist complaining, right? None of the people that are playing, like, the game, like, they find it funny when they die. Like, the actual people that bought the game, like, oh, shit, this game is crazy hard. I'm loving it. They're not complaining, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, and Crash Bandicoot was actually is now the best-selling PlayStation exclusive of this generation. It even outsold Horizon in the UK.
Oh, damn.
It's a pricey game. How much is Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah, like, in the first week, obviously, you know? But that's still impressive.
Yeah, it is.
That's impressive. Like, I don't know what it's
not. It's also not a super expensive game.
Yes, $40.
Isn't it $40?
Yeah, so $40.
You know, if one thing that also does prove that those kind of lower price games can do some pretty, you know, good damage.
As far as value. Yeah. Another thing we've said over and over again that people constantly say we're crazy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, value. Can you imagine if games cost $40 standard, they'd probably sell more copies.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I at least would like to see the era of other differently priced games like still out there. Like, it's great that, you know, Guilty Gear with all the shit that it has in it, that's not a full $60. I want to see more stuff like that. I think Hellblade's not even that
is no, it's not. Here's the problem, and this is gamers' fault. I'm calling them out right now. They believe that if a game doesn't cost $60, it's of lesser value. Like, it's a lesser game. You know, it's a stupid mentality. You know.
Yeah.
How much are they charging for the Uncharted? Like, I know it's part of the season pass, but if you don't, how much is it? Are they charging a full $60?
Oh, Uncharted games are always
$60. No, I think he's talking about the DLC.
He's talking about the DLC.
No, because that's like $30, isn't it?
Yeah, $40 at most.
Yeah.
So like, remember, it's weird the way they're trying to advertise it, because they're saying it's part of the package, you know, the season pass, but it's not really DLC. It's its own thing, right? And it's 10 hours. It's a full experience. You know, it's weird. It's so weird. You know, and I'm scared that a lot of people aren't going to buy it, because they're going to be like, nah, it's just more DLC, not knowing that it sounds like it's a
But it's its own. It's a standalone game. Think of it just like the infamous DLCs. You know, they're standalone. You know, you got to think about it like that.
Yeah.
All right. So let us talk about what games we've been playing lately. Manny, have you been playing anything at all?
Again, I've been playing very little. Again, I'm still at a certain point in the year that's just kind of a stalemate. I'm just trying to work. So
yeah,
I mean, I can say that there are things that I do want to play that I did pick up Until Dawn from the PlayStation Plus sale, PlayStation Plus thing. I got that, and then I also picked up Darkstalkers, because I never owned that on the PS3.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
I might just end up playing some stuff, because again, I get off so I'm working so many hours. When I get off, like, it's like, you know, could be 2 a.m. in the morning. I don't want to get involved with a game like Nier, where it's like all story stuff and I'm like tired and falling asleep. I don't want that to happen. So I've been looking into more smaller experiences for when I just kind of want to cool down after hours and hours of painting or, you know, coloring and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, I'll jump to me next, because I have been playing Nier Automata, and I find it interesting that you say, you know, you don't want to pop in Nier at 2 a.m. because it's such a long game. This is how warped my thinking has been.
It's not a long game, but it's something that I really want to pay attention to. And the thing is, here's what will happen. I get involved with playing, you know, I'm on the third part of Nier. I get involved with playing that, and I'm going to be up until the next day at, like, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
Happen. I will totally get sucked in, and then I will not get any sleep, which I need to get sleep to do my job.
Yeah, obviously. But again, I find it interesting. And again, this is what I say. I think this is how warped my thinking was. I've been playing these insanely long games for so long. Nier is a fucking snack to me. I'm like, wait, I only have to play like an hour at a time. This is fantastic. You know, like last night, it was Manny. It's funny you mentioned that because last night it was 2 a.m. I'm like, I'm gonna go to sleep. So let me pop in Nier real quick. I was done in an hour. That was it. You know, because it's not a game that grabs you like that. There's a story, but it's flimsy from what I've seen. I just go in there and just beat the shit out of things, you know? So it's really liberating like that, you know?
The first chapter is very straightforward. It's a very simple sort of story. It isn't until like the second and third chapter where things start getting kind of funky.
Yeah, maybe that's why. But I'm excited. And then the game is cool because like 1 minute you'll be, you know, hack and slash game. Then the next is a 2D hack and slash game. And then a fucking Ikaruga shit. I'm like, what the fuck? You know,
it becomes a bullet hell.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, this is nuts. So it's always keeping you on your toes and stuff. But at the same time, with that said, you know, I am enjoying the game and it definitely has its highlights. It still feels too much like Drakengard to me because it's made by the same guy. I didn't like Drakengard. Like I was telling Manny about this. It feels like Drakengard with better fighting controls. You know, there's just some, again, I don't want to disparage the guy because I know he makes really good games, but I don't think I like his games particularly. Like just the feel, the atmosphere is something I'm not exactly particular to, but at least the acting in this one is better than Drakengard 3. Fucking trash game, you know? But no, the fighting is good. Just the mechanicry of it all, yes, I made up a word, is fun. I like that. But the story, you know, it's all right, you know.
The first part of the first ending story, that's a very straightforward sort of thing. You kind of get it, everything you kind of get as it goes along. But once you get to the second chapter, that's when things start getting complicated and you start finding out the deeper reasons why certain things are happening. And a big revelation happens in the second chapter too.
It's deeper. And I am kind of, because here's what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to beat this game by Monday so I could get to Yakuza Zero, because you know, I think we talked about this before the show. I have a personal game to get in August. There's a bunch of shit that I want to get to. So I'm like, Yakuza's a game I could lose forever, basically, you know, like never get back to. So I'm like, let me just finish this out. So with Nier, what I'm going to do is I'm going to beat this, you know, the first playthrough, then play Yakuza, then go back to Nier, play the second playthrough, then do the third playthrough. Because Manny was telling me each playthrough gets shorter than the previous one. So that's good to know.
And the thing is, that from what Tony was telling me, that he's not doing a lot of the side missions.
Not doing any side mission. And this is me. I'm usually the side mission guy. I'm just doing the straight path.
You didn't do all of them in Gravity Rush, so.
I tried my best to do them, you know. Mm-hmm. I think I did. Actually, I did do them all. I may have gotten the trophy for that. Gravity Rush, I did do them. But for this one, I'm like, nope, I'm going right to the critical path. You know, I think the last time I did that was with, what's the name of that fucking game? Just Cause 3. I was like, I'm skipping all the side shit. Just going right to the main thing, you know? So yeah, that's all I've been playing right now. What did I play before that?
So you're not going for the platinum for Nier?
No.
Nier's platinum is actually pretty damn easy.
Is it?
It's not that hard.
Interesting. I have to look into it because I just saw a bunch of hidden trophies. I'm like, oh fuck.
Oh no, the hidden trophies, story shit.
Oh, okay, interesting.
All the story ones are all hidden.
Also, and I, you know, I'm just gonna be honest. I had to, even though I'm enjoying Nier now, but I had to force myself to keep playing it because I really just want to play Persona 5. I beat the game, but I want to go back. I actually went back. I played about in a good 10 hours. I beat Kamoshida again, but I was like, Tony, you can't be playing this shit. You need to forge ahead, you know? So I'm going to put Persona 5 in the back, you know? It kind of sucks that we're at that point. It's like, damn, I can't play the game I really want to play because I got all this other shit I got to play. It's a first world problem. All right. First world
problem, dude. I mean, I feel like you're already kind of done with Persona unless you really want to go for that platinum.
No, I'm not trying to go for platinum. I at least want to get the trophy for getting all the confidence. Apparently, there was one confidant I didn't even know existed until I beat the game. This bitch called Hifumi. I'm like, who? I never met her, you know? But yeah, I do want to get that at least, you know? But anyway, Chris, man, what have you been playing?
On your recommendation, I was playing Slain.
Ah,
I do like that game. And I got to this boss. There's like this giant banshee.
Oh shit!
And I didn't know like there was a way to beat it because she screams. If she screams, she kills you instantly.
Oh shit!
Her wail will just disintegrate you. And I'm like, how the fuck do you avoid this? You know, it's a Castlevania thing. And I was like, all right. And then I just happened to be standing under her. Oh, just stand behind her. I felt so stupid because she flies around. And if she gets in front of you, you're dead. Like, she just screams at you. So there's your pro tip. Get behind her.
Okay, I haven't gotten to that point, so I'll do that.
Yeah, get behind her.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how it's done, right?
That's how she likes it, too, man. All right. By the way, that's interesting because – Chris, you recommended Slain to me, and then I recommended it to you. So we're going in a circle. Very interesting.
That's funny. Yeah, I forgot about it because I saw it back on PC on Steam. And then you told me about it on PlayStation. I was like, yo, I should play this.
Yeah, man, it's a metal game.
Yes, and then next I have Adam's recommendation, which is Mother Russia Bleeds. But I'm gonna.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to let me know when you want to play that because we can do it. That
oh, like, nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now, screw you guys. Thought we were going to do Halo.
We can do that too. I stopped playing after you all agreed to play.
Oh, I'm down to start whenever.
How dare you play Halo on the supposed pony cast?
Let me know.
Play Halos, man. All right, Chris. Anything else, man?
Also Necropolis, but I went back to Slain. Necropolis is freaking hard. I mean, like I think I'm doing well, and then some motherfucking new enemy comes out and just smacks you once. It's like you think you're hot shit, pow, and then you got to start all over again.
Wow.
It's the Dark Souls of Dark Souls.
Oh, man. Necropolis. I got to check that out. That sounds crazy.
Necropolis. All right,
anything else, man?
No, that's it. I mean, I got my backlog, but I'm going to enjoy some of these smaller games, though, for a little while. Till August.
Okay, yeah, August. Sonic Mania, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to try that.
Carlos, man, what you got? Heroes of the Storm.
Yo, man, you don't even need to ask me anymore. Yeah, <you're> ready, Heroes of the Storm, like that's like, I put it on break for like a minute, man, but it's back in my daily cycle. Like I play that every day. So, yeah, I've been playing Heroes of the Storm. I played Mario Kart 8 on the Switch. Pretty much, I just wanted to play something right after I installed an update. So it would be like, I need to make use of my Switch, so I need to play something. So I played
that. Shit. And, yo, it's funny because I don't remember the last time I played my Switch, bro.
Oh, man.
I don't remember. And like, I don't foresee myself playing it again until Mario, to be honest. I don't give a fuck about Splatoon. And do you?
You got to play some ARMS.
Carlos, do you care about Splatoon? Because I don't.
Nope, I don't care about Splatoon. Is that all that's coming out for Switch?
In July, that's it. Fucking,
goddamn.
But yo, man, you could get ARMS.
Some ARMS. You
get ARMS.
Hey, man, Brett has been recommended.
Brett's recommendation, man. Game of the year.
Yeah, so like played that. Next Machina, I'm installing an update right now. I think was it you, Adam, who texted me about an update about how they changed the difficulty or something?
Yeah, they did a balancing. They did the balancing because people were bitching.
Oh, man.
Which one?
For Next Machina, the voxel shooter game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because apparently, here's what I said this a couple of throwdowns ago. Basically, this is the reactions you would see to this game, right? People on Twitter, oh man, Next Machina is the fucking shit. I love this game. 2 hours later, man, fuck Next Machina, cheap fucking game.
Yeah, interesting question. Tony asked me, is it worth it? And I'm like, it's $20. So I guess. Like to answer your question, Tony, on there, I think I would say yeah.
Okay.
It's a fun twin stick shooter game. It's interesting. Like it's run of the mill. There's not anything new, but it's just like I'm into those games, so I don't really mind paying the $20 for it.
Let me ask you this though, because I'm playing, you know, Nier Automata, and there's a lot of twin stick shooting segments in there. I'm like, damn it, I miss games like this. Will that game scratch that itch?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, yeah, because again, like I played, even though it's not a twin stick shooter, Resogun, I like that, but it didn't feel very old school to me. You know, not you know, like it looks like Gradius, but it isn't because you're going in a circle.
Oh, no, this does not feel like Gradius. I mean,
well, this is more like Jesus, like this is like Smash TV, right? Isn't it kind of? Or
it's more like Hotline Miami, but
okay,
but not as over the top as Hotline Miami.
Shit was hard as fuck, man.
Yeah, I can't think of a better example. What was the game of that? The name of that game on PlayStation 3, and it was also on 4. It was a zombie twin stick shooter, Dead by
Dead Nation.
Dead Nation.
Yeah. Is it like that? Or like,
I never played Dead Nation.
Okay, so I don't know.
I was just gonna say it's kind of like Super Stardust HD, but where the world is flat.
Oh shit! Okay, fair enough. I mean, it looks cool, you know, but I'm like, should I really want to pay $20? Maybe I'll wait for it to go on sale.
Yeah, it was on sale on Steam for like $14 during the summer sale, but yeah, $20. I mean, when I saw it, like it was like $20 or $14. I'm like, that's not that much different. I need something to play with on my PS4.
Yeah, all right. Anything else, man?
Nope.
All right, Adam, man, what you got, brother?
Still working on this damn Ghost Recon.
Damn.
You haven't gotten that platinum yet?
All I'm doing is collecting shit, man. You have to first... All right, so I got all the weapons. Then right now, I think I'm two documents away from collecting all like 500,000 of these damn things. But then here's where it gets into a pain in the ass mode, because each skill tree... It has like, I don't know, I forgot how many skills, maybe 10 to 12 skills. And then they all have like either one, two, or three slots of upgrades, right? But then you need different resources to upgrade those. So then how do you get resources? You got to do side missions. You got to steal trucks. You got to do all this stuff to just, it's constant just farming, you know, to then upgrade all of those. And that's what I'm doing now. And then I went on one of the groups and I asked for some help and a bunch of guys jumped in. They were like, yeah, I'm doing that too. I'm just farming. So it's just trying to work out a schedule with them because most of them are all in the UK. Like I said, it seems like only UK cats love this game. So all of them were hitting me up. I was like, all right, so maybe this weekend, so you can get together with some of them and we could just keep running around and start stealing trucks and collecting resources.
Because like, that's all right.
Yeah, because then that's the thing. It's like these trucks, they're there for once you collect them, and then that's it for the day. Then you have to wait till the next day for the new trucks to come in. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to do one long session. I'm going to keep, getting all these trucks and stuff and getting resources. No. Once you get the rounds of, like, the gas and the tools and the food, that's it until next day, And it's a pain in the ass, but that's what I'm doing. I mean, that once I get that done, then I put up. Besides that, tomorrow I'm doing a Dead Space 3 co-op with a buddy of mine. Right, so we're gonna go.
Going back to Dead Space.
Yeah, go back.
Which one? The Xbox or the PlayStation?
Yeah, the Xbox one because it's backward compatible.
Oh, nice.
And they had it on sale for like $6. So we're like, all right, so we're gonna do that.
Didn't you actually own that game?
Yeah, but it's in a box somewhere. I don't fuck with it. that's the thing. Most of them are in a box in a basement under other boxes. I don't know. So there was something else I was just playing. Oh, and one of the things that Life is Strange. I want to see if I can get through that on the PlayStation this weekend.
Oh, nice.
So I can
Wasn't that the PlayStation that. Plus thing last?
Yeah.
This week.
Last month. It was like last month or a month after. Yeah, it was free. I just want to fly through that one and finish that, and then delete that, and then that's it. That's what I've been playing.
All right. Awesome. All right. So before we wrap up, I want to let you guys know once again, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Quarterly Report. Me, Gary, JJ, Richard, and Max, we talk about all the games that came out in the last quarter. That's April through June. A lot of good stuff came out. So make sure to check that out. It's on the Throwdown crossover playlist. Literally the first one there. So just go check that out. Very fun podcast. All right, that's going to do it for us. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Throwdown Show. Links are located down there in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. I'm surprised we're not, I wanted Brian to appear and say something as soon as we're about to close out. Wait a minute. Hold on. Later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
I forgot to mention that Next Machina is like Dark Souls.
Yeah. It's a Dark Souls of twin stick shooters.
Man. And Adam Vale.
Start watching some Lucha, man. I'm telling you. It's like I got more people at my job. They were watching. They were like, you're right. It is different. It's not like your typical wrestling show.
Would you say it's the Dark Souls of wrestling? It's
definitely the Dark Souls of wrestling. No, for real. I mean, yeah, it is. It's the only federation I know that they can kill people and smash their faces and brains everywhere. I'm like, yeah, he ain't coming back. Yeah, he's not coming back.
Oh, they're going to bring him back.
All right, man. We'll see y'all next time. Later.
Peace.
Bye.